Let me pray. Father, we ask that you would continue just to teach us the ways of the Spirit. Continue, Lord, to develop our relationship with God the Spirit. Lord, even as we've prayed tonight, Lord, that you would give us greater insight and revelation into who you are, in particular, the Spirit of God. And we pray that this year, 2017, we'd see more of the Spirit moving in our midst, God, and in our city. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Joy, you got the notes? Awesome. Okay. All right. It's only a dollar, so no, just kidding. So everybody got notes. Good, good. All right. Let's go down to number one. I've been talking about this sermon for a couple weeks now. Kind of prefacing it, but as we've been talking about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we eventually get to 1 Corinthians 14, which I think that chapter in particular has the most in the entire Bible on prophetic hearing from God, flowing in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. That chapter is worthy of your study. If you're like, man, I want to understand prophetic. I want to understand the Spirit moving. I want to understand the gift of speaking in tongues. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and just camp out there. Go over it, you know, for a while, one day, come back to it a couple days later. But it has probably more insight in that one chapter than the whole rest of the Bible combined. And so I am literally going to teach just out of that, a few of those verses in 1 Corinthians 14. Years ago, this chapter just grabbed me because of how you know, much was in it. And so we're just going to go through it tonight. But I don't know if you could take all the, you know, neat insights on the prophetic and the whole Bible, it'd probably compare to what's there in 1 Corinthians 14. We'll go down to letter B here under the intro. What do I mean by prophetic ministry? Simply hearing from God or sensing things from God and then conveying that to others through various means. Usually it's speaking or singing. Could be art, could be dance. I mean, there's so many ways we can express what God's saying. Could be video, etc. But basically, I get an impression and I communicate that out. And to learn how to hear and then say accurately what God's saying is probably one of the coolest things in our walk with the Lord. You know, prophetic, you can use it in a, you know, ministry time, a prayer line, evangelism, you know, one-on-one. You can just walk up to someone and you sense something for them. It applies to any situation. So sometimes people think, you know, okay, prophetic, I got to be in a church during a prophetic time with someone telling me to do it. You know, there's all these rules, but I want to do it there, but I want to do it in like all through my life. I mean, whether I'm at the grocery store or at the park or in a prayer line, I just want to be sensitive to what God's saying and open to sharing his heart. And so I'm kind of sharing it in that respect. It's just learning to be prophetic basically in the church and outside of the church. Okay, as we'll discuss in a moment, we're told to desire the gift of prophecy more than even the other gifts, which is an incredible statement. The Bible itself says multiple times, the greatest gift is the gift of prophecy, the ability to communicate God's heart. And why is that? And I've just observed this in my own life, but it's also in Scripture. When someone says, this is what God says, and it's right, It just, the heart on the inside just explodes. You just come alive. When you're in a certain, going through something, and then someone says exactly what you need to hear, what God's saying, it just does something like no other miracle. When you're just going about your life and you stumble into a prophetic, you know, ministry thing, or you're in a prayer time and someone says something, and it's God, it just shifts something like nothing else. And it just makes you like, oh yeah, he is so real and he loves me and he knows me. It's just so powerful. I mean, we can see the sick get healed. We can see miracles and that's awesome. But when God knows the intimate details of you, there's just something, it's on another level. It's just way cooler. I want all the miracles. I want to see all of them. I really do. And you guys want to move in them. I want to move in them. But welcome, brother. But there's just something about when you're in the grocery store and you get an impression and you share it, and it just brings that person, like, you will have no idea. I was just thinking that or going through that. There's just nothing like it. If you're prophetic, let me say it like this. If you love the prophetic, but the gift has gotten a little bit dusty, take it off the shelf, dust it off, and just begin to go for it a little more. You never know how God could use you when you step out. Okay. Now, often, prophetic ministry, you know, hearing from God and seeking to communicate it, it's very often portrayed as elite. Or, it's complicated, don't try, you might mess it up. And I want to just, say that's not right. It's not for the elite, it's for anybody. It's not complicated. It's as easy as you receive an impression and you try to share it. You will make mistakes, and that's okay. God's kingdom is a messy kingdom, and He's okay with that for now. He's going to make it perfect eventually, but He really wants His sons and daughters stepping out, trial and error. When we blow it, we say sorry, I was wrong, and it, you know, God fixes it. We don't ever intentionally hurt people, obviously, but you're going to make a mistake, and that's okay. God's fine with that. And the bigger the mistake, you know, the bigger we got to apologize, but don't ever fear, like, what if I get it wrong, you know, this or that. Generally, what I've found is the more I seek to edify people and share something I'm not sure about, it usually just encourages them anyways. Even if I wasn't, you know, like, really hearing from God, usually people are encouraged anyways. You know, sometimes people think, well, man, it wasn't like a thunderous big impression. You know, it's just this little thought I have. That's almost always God. You know, the story, Elijah, when he was on the mountain, I think it was Elijah, and the fire passed by, and the, you know, and God wasn't in the fire. What was the three things that happened? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting some of them, but it was like the fire and then the wind, maybe. Thank you. Good to have resident scholars. And the Lord wasn't in the big, overt expression, but He was in the still, small voice. That is so powerful to get a hold of. So often that whisper is God's shout, and we hear it and we share it. It can just light someone on fire. Let's get down to these seven insights here. Okay, number one. Scripture exhorts us to eagerly desire to prophesy. It goes so far to say even above the eight other spiritual gifts. So I've laid a foundation for weeks about the importance of the gifts, what each of them are, why we're supposed to move in them. I mean, these are things God says, you know, these aren't just optional. We really need to move in these things. This is the way God builds up the church. But then He goes and says in 1 Corinthians 14:1 and in verse 39, to eagerly desire the gifts, especially that you would prophesy. Especially. So eagerly desire these gifts. Really want to be used in them. And then even above that, especially the prophetic. Again, why is there so much emphasis on that? Because when you get a word and you share it, and it's the Lord, it marks someone. I mean, those words, they will follow someone their whole life. Words people have given to me in, like, you know, little back rooms where it's dark. I've got a word for you. And I'm like, what is this? You know, have followed me my whole life. More than the dreams, more than the experiences and encounters, it's those little words that have marked me probably more than anything. I mean, the encounters are awesome and all of those other things. But there's something to the prophetic. We see in 1 Corinthians 14:5, it says, Paul's saying, Corinthians, I want all of you to speak in tongues, but even more, he says, even more that you prophesy. Because he who prophesies, this is what he says, is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Now, that's interesting. He's greater than the one who speaks with tongues. Now, why is that? Again, he goes on in 1 Corinthians 14 and says, when you speak in tongues, you bless yourself. And we need to be blessed. We need to be built up. But when you prophesy, let me say it like this. If I'm just sitting here pacing back and forth, just, just praying in the Spirit, I get charged up and blessed. And my spirit strengthened. But if I give a prophetic word, a dozen people could be blessed. 100, 1,000 could be blessed by you giving what the Lord's saying. And so when Paul says greater, it's not superior in the sense of I'm better than you, speaker and tongue guy. You know, we need to do both. The superiority is the idea is ministry effectiveness. If I get up on stage and just shout a tongues, people are just like, what? That's weird. You know, even if you're charismatic, it's like, that was weird. But if I get up and I declare with authority a word that's burning on God's heart, and it, you know, I just lay it out there, it could touch everyone in the room. Everybody's going to know, they're going to understand it at least. So it's good. We must speak in tongues. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than everyone. He uses prayer language a lot. He spoke on, taught on speaking in tongues. But we can't ignore that he raised the pecking order. He says prophetic is even better. So desire to flow in that. So number one, that's the first insight into prophetic, is we're to eagerly desire it. Let's go down to number two. And again, questions and answers after this if you got questions. The chief purpose of prophetic ministry, it's to encourage. I often read 1 Corinthians 14:3. I mean, before every prophetic time I do, I say, that's the verse. This is why we're going to do it, so you're encouraged. But every time I read 1 Corinthians 14:3, I think, man, if we were prophetic, we'd have an encouraging culture. We'd be encouraged people. We would minister to people and they'd be strong and built up. That's the chief purpose of prophetic is to encourage, to strengthen, to literally put courage inside of people through your words. This is what I feel like the Lord's saying. And they're built up and they're stronger for having received that word. The verse says, he who prophesies speaks. I call it the Trinity of encouragement. The Trinity of encouragement. If you're prophesying, you're doing three things. You're releasing edification, building people up. You're exhorting them and you're comforting them. I want to be a prophetic person. I want people to encounter me and be encouraged. I want our ministry to be prophetic. They come in here, man, I'm so encouraged right now. I met God. Guys, if you meet God, you will not be depressed. You won't go away like, oh, that was a bummer. If you encounter God, you will leave different, joyful, encouraged, built up. You'll have perspective on something. That is the chief purpose. So, I want to continue to grow. I want our whole ministry to grow. I mean, I want the whole church to grow in the prophetic so that we're more encouraged and encouraging people. Guys, I'm convinced that just before Jesus comes back, the church that's on earth as Jesus comes back won't be hiding in a cave, oppressed and depressed. We will be built up. We will be encouraged with the greatest level of prophetic anointing on our life, calling the lost, inspiring one another, and Jesus returns to that church. So, I don't know what your grid is, but that's the grid I'm going for. Yeah, we got to be an encouraged people. Okay, let's go to number three here. A prophetic church community or ministry community. Could be a discipleship group, anything. If we're prophetic, we're more effective at reaching unbelievers and those who are unaware of the Spirit's gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:22 says, prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Kind of just an obvious fact. If you're saved, you know, the Spirit's inside of you, you're going to hear Him way more. If you're an unbeliever, you can hear from God, but it's way less. I mean, God may speak to you and say, you need to get saved today. You know, and you might ignore it. But when you're lost, God's speaking to you. But when you're saved, God's in you, and there's a constant flow of communication. Now, oh man, this verse, 1 Corinthians 14:24. This is the verse right here, guys. This is where I just so want to go. Just my heart right here. Man, I just imagine prayer room, prophetic people. This is what the verse says. If all prophesy, this is Paul speaking to a church, and if every one of you get prophetic, and an unbeliever comes into that setting, or someone who's uninformed, he will be convinced. He will be convicted. And it goes on to say he'll fall on his face and say, God's real. God's really here. Oh, I love that verse. I love, guys, when we're prophetic, the unbelievers in our life encounter God. They go, this is real. Like, no one else could tell me what you just told me. No one else could have that kind of information. So when we're prophetic, we're more effective at reaching unbelievers. Let me just say this. Because it talks about the unbeliever, the non-Christian, and the uninformed, or the uneducated, is literally what the word means. But, guys, if we're a prophetic people, there's always going to be people in the midst who are like, man, I have no grid for the Holy Spirit. I was taught against the Holy Spirit. I don't know about the prophetic. Those people coming into the setting where people are prophesying and hear that God is speaking to them, and it's like exactly what, you know, they needed to hear, it just does something, and it makes God alive to them like nothing else. And they get signed up really quick, believing in God, believing in the Spirit, believing in the gifts. And so it's not meant to be a derogatory, you know, oh, you uninformed person, you know, you uneducated. It just literally means someone coming in who doesn't have the know-how of the Spirit. But once they see the prophetic flowing, it just really quickly, they become they get educated really quick and want more. Let me just read the rest. So there's that verse 24 and then verse 25. Let me read the rest of verse 25 here. So if all are prophesying, an unbeliever, uninformed person comes in, he's convinced, he's convicted. Verse 25, thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And falling down on his face, he will worship God. And report, that's a key word there, and report, God is truly among you. Oh man, I can think of nothing cooler than this. So here, I think this is what Paul has in his mind, okay? He's thinking, Church of Corinth, if you all get this prophetic gift stirred up, and unbelievers and uninformed, they don't know about the Spirit, they might not even, you know, be educated at all. You know, they just stumble into your service. If you begin telling them the deep secrets of their heart, this is what happens. You will never have an evangelism problem. Never have a missions problem. They will go tell people. They will go out and report, there's really God there. They were telling me secrets no one could know. It was like deep secrets. And I think, when I think of the church operating in the power of God, like when I think of revival season, I think this verse right here. When people come into the gathering and everyone, because the Lord gave me a word for you, and you lay out the deep secrets of their life. This is where the church is going. This is where your life is going. You just keep following Jesus. I when we pray prayers like, Lord, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, this is what's going to happen right here. And I want to walk in this. There's been a number of times where I've gotten a little more than normal insight, and it just really just blew up the person. It's very few times, honestly. But I want to flow in this, guys. Because why do I want to flow in that? Because I want people leaving, going back to their unsaved family, going, God's real. Like, people told me the deepest things I've ever heard someone say. It was like the deep secrets of my life. Oh, I love just thinking about it. And so when I teach on the prophetic, I it's not just, oh, neat prophetic. No, I want this. Verse 24 and 25. Not for real. Just read this verse again. So everyone's prophesying. Unbelievers are coming in. I'm just going to camp on this for 1 minute, okay? Guys, when the church, when the ministry is hearing and speaking what God's saying, you don't have to market on Facebook. We do it just because we're not really at the level of anointing we need to be. But it says the unbelievers will come. They really will show up. The people of all classes will begin to show up. And if you give them what the Lord's saying, and the secrets of their heart are revealed, not just, and when people read that, they're terrified. Oh my goodness, if I walk into a church like that and they reveal my deepest, dirtiest secret. No, the deep secrets of the heart aren't mostly bad. It's mostly, this is who you are. God sees your deepest desires, your ministry calling, where you want to go in life. The deepest things you may never even talk about, those are the deep secrets. And when the church community begins to hear and say, this is what God's saying about you, it literally says they'll fall on their face. When's the last time you prophesied and the person just is like, When the secrets are revealed, gang. I mean real stuff. When this starts happening, and I just believe the Lord wants this to happen, people fall on their face. We don't have to tell them, hey, it's worship time now. No, they just fall on their face. He's real. He really is real. Like, I don't want a ministry where we tell people, it's time to worship now. I want people encountering God and they fall on their face. I mean, it's not bad to tell people to worship. It's where we're at, if we're honest. But oh, to see the day where people fall on their face and worship God and then go report about it. Put it on Facebook. Go say it on the news. You know, go tell their family. Travel back to the nation further from. Tell their community. How much happens if there's a prophetic people revealing secrets? It just stirs me to even think about it. Now we stay faithful with where we're at. We keep doing prophetic nights. We keep doing, you know, we get an impression. We share it. I've got so many stories. I don't want to, you know, get crazy on it sharing stories. But just one that comes to mind is when we were traveling somewhere. And I was in literally the dirtiest gas station bathroom on planet Earth. It was so disgusting. And a guy walks in and the Spirit whispers to me, talk to this guy. I'm like, Lord, the dirtiest bathroom in America. I am not going to engage an individual in this bathroom. You know, it's like the Lord's always so funny and has the weirdest timing. And I obeyed, just in case you're wondering. And just, you know, began to say, bro, I just feel like the Lord wants me to talk to you. You know, I'm a missionary and, you know, I just feel like God has a plan for you. I just began to speak things over him. And the dude just broke and he was like, man, I am just going through such rough stuff. I got my wife out in the car and she's messed up. We're all jacked up. Whole family's jacked up. And he just spills his guts. And we're sitting there in the dirtiest bathroom. There's mud all over the floor. It was just so, but it was beautiful, but it was crazy. Why do I say that? Just if you're open, God can whisper to you and ministry can happen anywhere, anywhere. And guys, sometimes it's a moment supposed to happen and that moment, that's it. And then a month later, someone else picks up the baton and does something else in that guy's life. We don't have to, you know, share the word, you know, if they're not getting saved or whatever. Just trust the next guy to lead him to the Lord and the next guy to disciple him and the next guy to bring him to church. We just want to be obedient to play our part. And so just be open. Be open, definitely. I mean, they don't just have to be in the church and fall on their face. They could be on a street corner. Here's the thing, guys. The Spirit of God is willing to talk to us about anybody and anything if we're open to it. He doesn't want us to live condemned. He doesn't want us to live with that complex of like, is everybody I look at supposed to get a word? Like, it's just you walk through your life naturally, and when He prompts you, you just kind of, okay, Lord, I'm paying attention now, you know, and seek to obey. Okay. Excuse me. A prophetic spirit, number five, within the ministry inspires awestruck worship of God. Guys, when we're connected to what the Lord's saying and we're freely sharing it with people, again, what's it say? People falling on their face, worshiping God. Prophetic leads to worship. When we're up here singing and declaring things, it just brings us into worship. The choruses that we're going tonight were just epic. Just drawing my heart to the Lord. The more we're speaking prophetic phrases and singing and praying prophetically and sharing prophetic words, worship flows out of that. Okay. Let's go to number six. This is something I want to take a little time on here. A healthy prophetic ministry culture promotes critical thinking. Doesn't suppress it. A healthy prophetic ministry culture. What do I mean by that? So we in this house of prayer, we value hearing from God. We're a prophetic ministry. Or a church that says we like to hear from God. There's many churches don't even believe in that. Many other churches are totally against it. This ministry and, you know, a lot of churches that we run with and we connected to value, you know, hearing from God. So we're a prophetic ministry culture, but we can be unhealthy if we just let any word fly and don't judge it and evaluate, whoa, was that the Lord? And so here's the thing. In a healthy prophetic culture, we let the prophetic words fly, but we use our brain as well. We use our senses. And so let me just break this verse down. Because if we're doing it right, we're going to develop critical thinking skills and a commitment to biblical integrity. This is what Paul says. Basically, my paraphrase, 1 Corinthians 14:29, if two or three prophets get up there and share prophetic words, the others are supposed to judge the words. That sounds, judge the words. So not just prophetic people in the church, everybody is supposed to hear the prophetic words and then begin to work through. Was that biblical? Was that the heart of God? Was that, you know, was that too much? Was it, you know, this or that? I really believe we get more integrous biblically. And I think we actually reason better when we let the prophetic community develop. And then we say, well, great intentions, but that actually wasn't biblical. Now, we don't do it in front of the, you know, we pull the person aside and say it gently, and you might even give them space to make four or five errors before you come down with that. But God wants us to have, you know, a culture where we value prophetic and we just let it ride. We let it go. But we also have to be a people that say, you know, appreciated that word, but I don't see that in the Bible. Now, this is a subject that does concern me, is the amount of people who will accept anything if it's said from a pulpit. I say this as much as possible. I have it written at the bottom of my notes. If you can't find it in the Bible, it's not God. No matter how special the person is, no matter how charismatic they are, how gifted they are, how many miracles they do, if it's not biblical, throw it out. I mean, inevitably, in every one of my sermons, there's something that's not fully biblical. Throw it out. We're all on a journey, but just because someone's on a stage doesn't mean you have to believe it. In fact, the Bible encourages you to challenge ideas with the Bible. Now, I have here written down, critical thinking is important. A critical spirit, where you're just constantly disagreeable, that's something totally different. Some people think, well, I don't want to be critical, and so they don't ever challenge any ideas, and they don't develop proper theology for themselves. You should regularly, as you're hearing sermons, hearing prophetic words, hearing songs, regularly be thinking, where is that in the Bible? That's new to me. I don't know if I've ever heard that. We know what Paul said to the Bereans. When Paul came to Berea, Scripture says the Bereans were noble-minded, fair-minded. Different translations say noble, others say fair. When Paul preached, the Bereans said, that's a great sermon, Paul. Glad you're an apostle. Glad you're moving in signs and wonders. That's totally new to us. We're going to go check the Bible. As much as the Bible as they had back then, which was the Old Testament and the Psalms. So Scripture calls us. You know, if you hear something, oh man, that's great, great thought. I don't know if that's in the Bible. If you can't see it, don't give your heart to it. This should be very normal for the believer. It's not bad to challenge ideas. Let me just read what I have here. Not only are prophetic people within the church community to judge or evaluate prophetic words or anything spoken, but everyone in the community is to weigh them with a Berean attitude to determine if it's scriptural. Look that up in Acts 17:11. Scripture honors the Bereans for challenging Paul's teaching. Probably the second greatest theologian ever to live, aside from the Lord himself. Paul taught, and the Bible teaches, challenge ideas. Find it in the Bible. We can't say, oh, you know, so-and-so's so anointed, just take it. No, don't just take it. Because here's what happens. When you grab an idea that's not biblical and run with it, it will damage your life. It's not true. Anything that's not true isn't going to be helpful. So, I'm going to keep reading it here. The Bereans were affirmed as fair-minded and noble for double-checking what Paul was teaching. And I'll just continue to say this. To make sure what someone's saying or prophesying is biblical, is not unfair, critical, or sinful. It's an act of devotion to truth and therefore obedience to God. But lastly, critical thinking implies your heart is eager to humbly learn the truth. You should go, I love that, but where's that in the Bible? Guys, I hear messages all the time, and usually I'm the one sharing it, where I'm just like, I don't know if that's in the Bible. I mean, after the fact, I'll be like, man, I don't think what I shared was even biblical. And we just got to learn to get better, you know, study it better. A critical spirit is someone who has an embittered attitude, and so they're always trying to find fault, always trying to be disagreeable. It's a totally different disposition. Now, we don't want to go there, but we have to understand that's way different than critical thinking. I really want to understand that. That's healthy and good. But when you're constantly disagreeable, that's a critical spirit. We don't want to go there. But sometimes, you know, what can be presented as a critical spirit is you just, you know, use your brain and think about it. Because I want to believe the Bible. I don't want to believe just because someone's cool. You know, my favorite authors, my favorite Bible teachers, you know, all my favorites, they say stuff all the time. And I'm just like, what are they talking about? There's no way that's in the Bible. Sometimes I go, oh, wow, it is in the Bible. Unbelievable. Never knew that. And then sometimes I check it and I'm like, it's not really there. I still love that guy. I'm still going to listen to him. And so, yeah, you know, I wanted to share that because, you know, we don't have to just accept every word. Now, okay, let me just get really real here, okay? Sometimes I like to do that. About every year, to sit my Sprite to share this year, I've been involved in prophetic circles probably as long as I've been saved. And usually every year, about this time of year, you know, prophets come out with the predictions for the year. Because God only speaks on like January 1st, right? So all these prophetic people are saying, this is what's going to happen. This is what, you know, judgment's in the land. You know, every year, judgment's in the land. You know, every year, America's going to be destroyed. You know, I've seen so many prophecies, so many things, so many times. And 95% of it never happens. Probably 98% of it. Maybe 99. Never happens. And they never say anything afterwards. They never go, oh, I totally blew it. Guys, there is a real temptation to use the prophetic to sound smart, sound amazing, like you are so connected to God, and you know everything, and God speaks only to you like He spoke to Moses. You know, first of all, don't go there. If you're a prophet in the office of a prophet, everyone will know it. You know, you'll speak and your words won't fall to the ground. They will just strike the heart. People will know. You know, most of us aren't going to be at that level. We're going to get little impressions and share them and people will be encouraged and the church built up. But the other reason I say that is don't just believe everything out there on Facebook. Challenge it. I mean, many of my friends, my dear friends, many people I love and respect will give me prophetic words, email me. When you do House of Prayer, you get stuff like crazy emailed to you. Your head spins. Apparently, you know, God's going to judge America. He's going to bless America. He's going to do in between that. He's going to, you know, all, he's just, and there are people hearing for real, but they're probably not, you know, how do I say this nicely? Just be wise what you take in is, I guess, what I'm saying. Don't believe every word. And I mean, I'm not going to go on this too long, but I heard so many prophetic words about President Obama. So many prophetic words that I don't even want to repeat. Guys, I'm like, well, that's nice, but I got to pray for the guy. That's what the Bible says to do. Yeah. Now we have a new president. Pray for that president. But why do I say that? Because there's going to be so much coming at you. I guarantee in the next few weeks there's going to be the word of the year. And, you know, glean the truth out of it. We don't despise prophecy on one hand. We don't despise them. But we also have to judge them. We also have to evaluate them. So we hold this tension of, okay, prophetic word came to me. I don't want to just write it off. But I do want to evaluate it, and so there's some truth in there. Just take that truth and just, you know, go with it. But I do throw out so many prophetic things. And I actually think about, man, that so-and-so said the craziest thing, and they haven't cleared it up. It's just still hanging out there, the weirdest word ever. You know, and I just... Anyway, I want to get some feedback on that when I'm done, because it's just one of those things where we need to get better at. If we get up in front of people and we declare judgment is coming this week and it doesn't happen, we need to get up on the stage and say, I blew it totally. I'm sorry. I want there to be prophetic integrity. I want people to understand. You can't just say that. It scares people. If you're a real prophet in the land, you got to hit it. You can't just be saying massive words and blowing it all the time. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's okay. Back to the notes here. Some of you are like, ooh, man. Okay, number 7. We'll talk about that a little bit. Obviously, I got a little energized on that. I didn't even know where that came from. It wasn't on the notes. Number 7, prophetic ministry is for everyone. And we all learn by doing it. How do you learn to ride a bike? You ride a bike. How do you learn to swim? You swim. How do you learn to golf? You golf. Much of life is you just do it. In the same way as the prophetic. You can read tons of books, you can go to prophetic classes, but if you just jump in the stream and start prophesying, you'll get it and you'll get it good. 1 Corinthians 14:31, you can all prophesy, Paul says. Every one of you, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. All right, so the seven insights. We're to eagerly desire it. Its purpose is to encourage. When we flow in it, we're more effective at reaching unbelievers and those unaware of the gifts. It has the power to reveal the secrets of the heart and inspire evangelism. It inspires awestruck worship of God. Prophetic community is to help us think critically and with biblical integrity. And it's something everybody can do, and we learn by doing it. And we will end right there. Amen. Amen. Let it be so. Fill us up, Lord. Give us greater prophetic anointing. We want to hear from you and share what you're sharing. God, let it be that in this place and in our city, people fall on their face worshiping God and then go and report, God's among those people. Let it be in our churches. Let it be in our day. Lord, let our sons and our daughters prophesy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, I did end early. That's usually doesn't happen. But any questions or thoughts? And then we'll wrap up. Yes. Oh, okay. We'll go to Joy first.
But,
please do. Amen. Great verse. So Paul's saying, prophesy. If you're in the church setting, prophesy. You know, that's better than speaking in tongues. But if there's an interpreter, then people will be edified. And so in essence, you're kind of giving a prophetic word then. Because the person got up and shared their prayer language and no one understood them except the person that speaks that language, which happens. And then the other interpreter gets up and says, this is what I think it means. Now notice that it's not a translation of the tongue. It's not a word for translation. An interpreter will give the general idea. So this is what I believe was the heart of God through that tongues. Great point. And I've been around a couple tongues given. I gave an interpretation once. That was interesting. I hope I got that one right, Lord. Because I don't speak that language. Okay, Brother Ken. Oh, okay, yes.
Every year of Jubilee.
Ken has prophesied. One sec there, Mary. Ken's going to ask a question.
So how do we distinguish the Lord's voice from our own? How do we know when we're being prophesied?
How do we distinguish the Lord from our voice? The most basic short thing I could say is it's generally not what we're thinking, and it's a little different than what we would think. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, Derek, got this word for you. And it's what they always say and always think like. It's like, I appreciate that. But usually when it's like kind of unique and different and not always what we always think or always prophesy, like there's just something that drops in. But sometimes, you know, we're thinking something and that's just God, you know. But a lot of times I really pay attention. Someone walks by and I get just a weird impression, like something that I don't ever think about. What? You know, I just, like a vision of a semi-truck. A guy walks by. You know, or just something flashes through my mind, or I just feel an impression. That was out of nowhere. That's when I start to really pay attention. It's like the Spirit gives you something. But it's like when you go out trying to make it happen, then you're just kind of, you know, always, but it's like, I just try to let it happen naturally. And just like, Lord, I'm open, whatever, here I am at Kroger. And sometimes I just try to be, you know, sometimes the prophetic word is just to say hi to the guy. Like, you know, what's up, man? You know, like that guy, no one said hi to him in a month. You know, so it's not always a word, it could be an action, you know, loving on him, giving him money. So, Yeah. I mean, sometimes being prophetic is you do a prophetic act, like you give them $20 or whatever. I mean, just be open to anything. Just recently, someone out back behind the house of prayer, I felt this extremely broken person. I just was, oh, Lord. And the Lord prompted me to do something for them right in that moment. And probably never see him again, but it was just something the Lord just put on my heart. It wasn't a word, it was just like a little way to bless him. So, you know, be open to what God could be saying, but also there's a whole variety of, you know, actions that, so just be open to whatever. Hopefully that helped. You're always too kind to me, Ken. You sound more anointed with a cold. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I want you to be healed of your cold, but you just sound even like your prayers are getting answered more. Love it. That was weird. Okay. Any other questions? And Mercy is pointing at me. Oh, share it with us, Mercy. I'll have what? Lord, have mercy on us leaders. Mercy says every person leading that had a cold. We have oranges. The Lord has provided mercy. Wow, this just got... Mercy gave a prophetic word. Mercy came. Wow, thank you, Mary. Good things happen when a Mary gets involved. Usually. Any other questions, thoughts? Janira, anybody? Okay. It's Christmas in Israel? Right now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, a Gregorian calendar, yeah. Okay. Wow, okay, I didn't know that. Lord, bless all the believers in Israel right now. Yes, yes. Amen to that. In the back, any questions, thoughts? Good to see you tonight. Amen. Jesse, anything?
Well, when you were answering Kenneth's question, I kind of just had an added thing. But
share it. Go for it. No, please do. Yep.
And that's when I know it. Okay, the Lord's going to do something or say something, and I need to pay attention.
That's right.
That's when I know it's Him, not me.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, God gives all kinds of little helpers to... Okay, that is you. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Holly, you got anything? I could give you a minute. You can come up with a really good one. Oh, okay. I owe you a dollar. I owe you like $3. Okay, I'm just going to give you a 10 and get paid up for the year. Holly always finds my typos. It's $1 for the first person to find a typo. If you find it during the sermon, you can't find it 2 weeks later. I actually added that today. I added a line. It says, the first person to point out a legitimate mistake typo on this document during service. Because you could just go home and open up Microsoft Word and find them all. And that's just not fair. Too easy. Okay, I'll give you a dollar. Where's it at, Holly?
Under number six.
I don't subscribe to the Oxford comma, by the way. So you're saying my notes are possessed. Jeez, Holly. I was praying that they would be full of the Spirit, but they're apparently possessed with an unnecessary comma. All right, you, ma'am, get a dollar. A confession or a question? Okay, we're doing confessions too, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was in the spirit every day. And one gal came who was from inner city, and she said a word of prophecy, but I was the only one that understands because it's up for me. You
okay.
Know, after 3 hours, you're praying and praying and praying.
Wow, okay. Thank you for sharing, Mary. Let me ask you guys about number six again. What I shared a little bit about, you know, receiving, you know, thinking about prophetic words, using critical thinking, you know, people sharing words. What? Give me some feedback on that. What do you? Is that helpful? Like, you know, what? Anything specifically about that? Guys, I've seen crazy things said from the pulpit. I mean, really hurtful things, unbiblical things, crazy stuff. And so I've over the years, I don't want to, you know, react against it and throw the whole thing out. You know, that's what Paul says. Don't despise prophecies. Don't get so irritated by them that you don't receive them anymore. But there's a way to navigate this well. And so I'm just curious what maybe one or two of you think on that, or if you got any thoughts or further question. Yeah, go ahead, man.
One of the things I've noticed that Jesus or anybody else, anytime they even have a seemingly negative word, it's there's always not necessarily a loophole, but he backs it up with, but if you do this, just so you know, kind of thing. There's hope at the end of it, and
wow.
It's not just the negative and drop you off.
Right.
See you later.
You're so right. I think, you know, I don't know. I just, all I know to do is be me. But, you know, out of all the prophetic words I've heard in my life, you know, the ones where someone stands up during the middle of a worship song, it gets quiet, so that's their moment. They declare it, you know, it's almost always, without fail, God's angry with his people. And it's completely not biblical. God's not up in heaven angry all day. But so often the prophetic people present him as like Zeus. And he is those things, but not like he's presented often. And so the whole church is like, oh, God's angry again. You know, and does God get angry? Yes, he does. Do we misunderstand what that is? Mostly, yes. Scripture says he's slow to anger, abounding in mercy and loving kindness. He's so tender. He causes it to rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He's so good. He does so many miracles for us every day. And he's just really happy with his church. He knows where it's going. And so it just, when the word comes, he's angry again. Like, sacrifice a cow or something, get him happy. You know, it's like, it just grieves me deeply because so many people don't challenge it, and then they're thinking, oh, God's angry at our church again. And so I feel like we just need to do better. And then there's a poor unbeliever or a first-time visitor in the corner just going, oh my goodness, I never want to come back and talk to that God, ever. You know, and I just think we need to be... I think it's more indicative of our own heart is that so many prophetic people, all they can say is, we think he's angry. And it's just, I'm like, really? Because I just talked to him this morning, and he really likes me. He doesn't like the fumbles I've made, but he's really working with me, and he's my dad, and he likes me. And I just don't think he's up in heaven, you know, with his arms crossed, pacing around, you know, the throne. What do we do today, Holy Spirit? They're all disobedient, you know. He's so smart, guys. And he's so patient and joyful and loving. He's all the gifts of the Spirit, all the fruit of the Spirit. He's all the fruit of wisdom. I mean, he's just not like he's often presented. And so it just kind of bothers me when we don't present him as he is. And then we call it prophetic. It's just, I think it's hurtful. Now there are people who are genuine New Testament prophets living today. And when they speak, comets fly across the sky. And you know, earthquakes happen. And they're really prophets. And I pay attention to those people. There's like three of them. You know, there's not a million of them. And I don't think they're on Facebook, you know. I mean, oh geez, I'm going to get in trouble. But anyway, I want to be the real deal. You want to be the real deal. And I just give you permission from a leader from the front, just saying this. You have permission to challenge prophetic words. The Bible gives you permission. I can't give you that permission, but I'm just saying the Bible gives you permission to go, I think you're just excited. And maybe a little angry at people. The Lord, he's more than angry, okay? And he's not just concerned about the stock market, okay? Which is about the two things you're going to hear about as prophecies come flying. Is he really doesn't sit up there in heaven going, oh my goodness, the stock market. Like, he's just so much bigger than, I'm getting so silly. I, like Paul says, I speak foolishly. He's really concerned about, he wants his church to be that mature bride. He wants the church to be a people that his son can return for. He's zealous to build up his purposes, and he knows how to do it. And in his mind, it's already done. He knows where it's going. He knows how it finishes. He doesn't relate to things like we do. He's just so much bigger than we can conceive. Anyway, my voice is failing and time is failing. Any last comments on that? There's one last shot if I confused you.
I think it's really good. I mean, more recently it's kind of been something that has bothered me too, you know, when like this end of the world or this judgment not being given, and then like there's no good proof from it.
Right.
What they prophesied didn't come to pass. And it's like, oh well, nothing is said about it, like no one even remembers it, and then, you know, a year later they give the same prophecy and nothing again.
I think, Justice, you're touching on something that the whole church needs to have a discussion on. We need the courage and the humility to go, okay, we see before the Lord's return certain dynamics that include judgment, but we don't know when that is. Could be soon, could not be soon. We're not going to speed it up by making it all intense around, you know, like, if we, you know, this is just a subject that I care about and I want to do it right. We can't throw out the subject of the judgment of God because it's obviously something he does. But if it's the extent of our prophetic words, if it's all we say, and if we miss it continually, we got to go back to the drawing board and say, what's wrong? And we have to have the integrity to say, we gave this word 2 months ago, it didn't happen, none of it. We missed it, like, completely. We want to get it right. Like, I want to do that. For the days ahead, step out, give the words, give the word to the person, give the word to, you know, get up on the mic and say, this is what I feel like the Lord's saying. If it happens, be like, wow, God spoke and it happened. You're pretty cool. If it doesn't, you get a chance to go, I was wrong, and get more humble. So there's been times where I have felt a really intense word and disobeyed. I didn't give it, and I regret that. There's times where I did give the word, and it was wrong. You know, I mean, we just got to be willing to give each other space, work with people, but we got to have the integrity. We got to do that. And I think sometimes, let me just end here shortly, soon, is when we are subscribing to the end times teaching, which I fully subscribe to and I want to teach on it my whole life, what we can tend to do is be a little bit doom and gloom and maybe miss what God's saying. And I actually think much of the church fell into that during this last election. Many people thinking, oh, Clinton's going to get elected. It's over. We're just going to, you know, it's judgment's coming. You know, I mean, it's just such a bad feel to so much. And then none of it happened. The complete opposite happened. And it's like, oh, things are different than what I thought it'd be. And so, guys, we just can't. Yeah, we gotta shoot for prophetic integrity. Okay. Well, you've heard my heart on the matter. Hopefully gotten a few insights on the prophetic. We'll just go ahead and we'll end with that. And then we're just going to end the service as well so people can go home and rest their voices and get healed. Let me just pray over us right before we go here. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you that we could gather to worship and to pray and to hear your word, Father, and just talk amongst one another and just discuss your word. Lord, we just ask, would you give revelation of the Holy Spirit? Would you give revelation to each one tonight on how to move in the prophetic? And Lord, help us to be those with prophetic integrity. God, I just speak over each person here to eagerly desire the prophetic. Father, to be used to encourage and strengthen others, Lord. God, to be more effective at reaching unbelievers and those unaware of the Spirit's gifts. Father, to reveal the secrets of hearts and inspire evangelism. Father, to inspire worship, Lord, and to grow in our critical thinking skills and our biblical integrity, Lord, and to just grow in the gifts, Father, to grow in the prophetic, Father. In Jesus' name, bless each one here tonight. And we pray that you would heal every sickness here, Lord. Everyone in the house of prayer dealing with sickness. Every family, every kid, Lord, release healing, we pray. God, have mercy. And we pray for that family missions trip in Haiti, God, that is under just a really intense situation. Lord, we pray that you would send a breakthrough even right now. A resolution would come. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll bless all of you. We'll just end there. Make sure you say hi to someone. Give them a hug. We're here all week if you want to pray.